Greetings, folks, and welcome to episode 34 of the Far Beyond Metal podcast. I'm your host and spirit guide on this metal journey, Daniel Cordova. In this episode, Dave Hill of Valley Lodge and Witch Taint discusses his first band, and I recommend Ascending Dawn. Before all that, I welcome another member of Haken to the program. This time, vocalist Ross Jennings and I talk 80s movies, live show fantasies, and their upcoming album Live, which will be released June 22nd via Century Media Records. From the Live album, here's some of my favorite song by Haken, 1985, before Ross and I get started. How's your, how's your afternoon, evening been so far?
We've got pretty good weather here in the UK, so, not too bad. It's about 5 o'clock here now in the evening, so it's been a good day.
I was just in the neighborhood for my honeymoon a few weeks back, and it was very gray, but, like, that, I don't get that here in Northern California. We just get hot all the time. It's a bad time, but...
Yeah. Well, I'm jealous.
Yeah. I mean, we're getting 100 degrees Fahrenheit today. And it's May, and I'm sad about it. So I'm jealous of you.
Congratulations, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't fishing, but the context of why I was just in the neighborhood. Anyway.
Right.
So I guess we'll just go ahead and dive in. Haken's about to release their first live album. Why now for a live album?
Why now? We've just celebrated 10 years of being a band. And in that time, there's been no live album. And we felt it was a good time to kind of draw a line under that period and put out this product, which we're really excited about. And we feel there's enough of an eclectic mix of music now, which warrants a good live record for people who already love us. And also for the new listener as well. I think live albums are a great opportunity to kind of dive into a band's repertoire. So we're quite proud of what we got here and the mix of songs, and it just felt right to do that now.
Are there any of these songs that you think maybe we don't have to do this anymore now that it's going to be pre-10th anniversary live album and post-10th anniversary live album? Because once it's on a record live, why play it live? If anyone can just have it.
I can't see us doing the Aqua medley ever again. That was really just a one-off for that tour. Very special track for us, though. I mean, that was... we talked about doing the album in full, but that would have taken up too much of the show. So we put that medley together, and that was great fun to play every night. But I can't see us doing it like that ever again. Whether or not we play songs from Aquarius, I mean, I'm sure that will happen. But that was a cool thing to do.
So obviously the idea of the tour was to celebrate 10 years of the band. What was the decision process of picking the songs you guys played, and are there any that you wish you had time for? Because the live album's pushing 2 hours, and I'm sure the set was as well.
Yeah, I mean, on that particular set, the EP wasn't represented at all. And neither was the original demo material as such. So it really was drawing from the four kind of main released albums that we had in that period, which technically was from 2010, so it wasn't quite the 10 years, but it was a good idea to celebrate being a band for so long since 2007. And yeah, we would have loved to have crammed in more if we could. I mean, I mentioned the EP because Crystallized is one of my personal favorite tracks. And that was evolved from the original demos of Snow, which was on the 2007 demo. So it would have been nice to put that in the set list, We were able to include it on the bonus disc though, which was great.
Cool.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, everything was represented quite well, I felt. We were still in a way promoting Affinity on that run, but yeah, we were able to dive more into our history a bit more.
What was the significance of recording in Amsterdam? I read that it was the last show of the tour. Was that just kind of it?
Well, actually, we had bigger plans initially to record several shows. So we'd set up film crews to be in about four locations. We also had a tech who was filming us every night with his pro camera on stage. And a lot of that material went out during the tour on Facebook. There were plans to have more of a documentary approach to the project as well. But in the end, I think it just became too much work, and we decided to just focus on one show. So we ended up listening to a lot of the shows back. You know, that took some time. And in the end, it just whittled down to our best performances, and that happened to be the Amsterdam performance right at the end of the tour. And it's actually quite a special one for me, because I have some Dutch heritage myself. My mother's Dutch, and some of my family was actually at the show as well. So I have really fond memories of that one in particular. And yeah, it just worked out that way in the end.
You said you went through and you listened to several shows worth of material. How are you listening to yourself? Are you really critical? Are you able to like disassociate? What's your how are you on you, I guess?
Yeah, I'm very self-critical, actually. Yeah. I mean, that's an artist's prerogative in a way. I mean, everyone in the band is very critical of themselves. So, yeah, it did take a while to make sure everyone was happy with everything in the end from that show. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, after all that... listening back and making sure we didn't have any bad kind of takes shows, you know, in the mix, and whittling it down to that one was it just made sense in the end that was the one. Yeah.
All right. So in the future, it's Haken's 20th anniversary. You have an infinite budget. You can play any venue you want in the world. What happens at that show? Who's opening for you? Guests, anything? Go. What is your crazy dream show?
Crazy dream show. Wow. I'll tell you what, some of the best audiences I've encountered are in South America, so I'd have to say something out there. What are we talking, like a festival lineup here?
you can have any openers you want. In my head, I imagine a big crazy celebratory show like something Devin Townsend would do. Like the Retinal Circus or the Ziltoid thing, where he did two full sets and played album in full and had like people out, like a whole choir and people running around in like testicle costumes and just insanity, because that's what Devin Townsend is. What would Haken's version of that be?
I think minus the testicle costumes, but I would love to do a kind of Metallica S&M style thing.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Orchestra. I mean, I know Devin's just actually putting something out at the moment he's done recently. Like that. I mean, I guess that's not as bombastic as all the costumes. I can't see all my band members going for that, to be honest.
I think you guys with a symphony would be really cool, though.
So, yeah, that's definitely a bucket list thing. Yeah, for sure.
That'd be cool. From Haken's Affinity, that was Initiate. I'll have more with Ross in a moment, but first, this is My First Band. Every musician has to start somewhere, and this episode, comedian and musician Dave Hill discusses his musical origins.
We, really, I think I tried to have some bands in high school, but I was always, like, too much of a perfectionist when I was that young, and I was I was already like pretty good at guitar when like a lot of people were a little sloppier, and so I was like, come on, gotta be better. And like, understandably, you know, other kids didn't want to put up with that. So I never had much luck forming a band in high school, but I formed a band in college called worst slash best name ever. We were called Sons of Elvis, and we formed when we were going to Fordham University in the Bronx, and we made one record for our Priority Records that we made, you know, right after we got out of college, and you know, we had a video on MTV and all that stuff, and we were, I don't know what it was like, would have been in the 90s, you know, back when everyone was like kind of in that ripping off, you know, post grunge things, and we were sort of an anomaly in that we were more just like a rock band. And so, you know, some people said we sounded like Cheap Trick or Aerosmith or whatever, but I don't know, the best description I ever heard is one journalist said it was like Cheap Trick data compressed, which is a pretty, I'm not sure what that means.
That seems like a huge insult, but at the same time, it kind of seems like it doesn't.
I thought, no, well, it was in a really good review. It was basically like, you know, I think we just crammed a lot into 3 minutes, and which is kind of true. Like, we went back and did like a reunion show a couple years ago, and my buddy Tim Parnon, who played guitar, and I played bass in that band actually, and we had to go and like relearn the songs, and we were kind of like, oh fuck, like what were we thinking, cramming like all these riffs into like little, you know, but we were basically writing like pop rock songs, but like, you know, but we were also listening to Pantera, so we would add like all these little things, you know.
Yeah. Dave Hill and Chris Reitfeld of Autopsy make up the band Pain and Doll, who released their self-titled album in February. Dave is also the mastermind of black metal comedy act Witch Taint. For all things Dave Hill, head to davehillonline.com. Now here is some of Ross Jennings' other band Novena, which you can find over at novenabanduk.bandcamp.com. From their EP Secondary Genesis, this is Lost Within a Memory. So you guys don't have, well, on the website right now, there's only one show listed in July, the Art Mania show with Leprous and Stephen Wilson, which seems like a really cool show. But other than that, do you guys have any road dates in the pipeline for this year?
So right now we're knuckling down with album 5. Tracking of drums has just commenced. And over the course of this next month, up to the end of July actually, we'll be getting everything in the can for that record, which is really exciting. We'll have a little break and then that festival appearance. After that, obviously the plan is to have the record out before the end of the year and to get some dates together starting from November, December time. So, before Christmas, we hope to be out on the road again, that's for sure.
The last album had a lot of 80s flair to it, and that kind of wound up being a blurb that was able to encapsulate it. Album 5, is there any sort of nutshell nugget that kind of could describe it like 80s vibe or something?
I mean, to be honest, publicly, what we've been going with is we want it to be a little bit heavier than what you're used to, and I guess darker in terms of lyrics and content. However, we are Haken, and we tend to do our usual quirkiness. So there's still some time for the details to be fine-tuned and on this record, so it's really hard to say at the moment. But I couldn't give away anything more than that at this point.
That's fair.
We've been focusing a lot on the riffs, to be honest. Charlie's been coming up with some amazing heavy guitar riffs. So that's something that's a theme, I guess.
Speaking of quirkiness, on the Haken website, your bio in the band lists some films you enjoy, but it ends with anything with Nick Cage.
Mm.
What is your fascination with Nicolas Cage?
I guess that kind of died out recently. I haven't really been enjoying his recent movies, to be fair. But
I couldn't tell you a recent movie.
There was a fun phase on the tour buses where we would just play Nicolas Cage movies, and I guess it was more in jest of him than in awe of him. But but still, he's made some cracking films actually, around in the early 90s, I would say. That's just us being comical.
So you don't have a secret spot in your heart for like National Treasure or Face Off or something? I'm assuming you're like ironically watching these or ironically enjoying some of these.
I tell you, but then I have to kill you.
That's fair. That's a very Nick Cage move.
No, actually, Con Air is like one of the best films ever made. So
I haven't seen Con Air.
Do it. Put it on your list.
All right, we'll do. I don't remember how I found this, but you shared the soundtrack to Fly the Navigator somewhere, and I thought that was really interesting because growing up, that was my favorite movie ever, like as a kid.
Well, let me tell you.
Please.
Every Thursday at my house when I was young, we literally had like two video cassettes in the house. One of them was Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves. And the other one was Flight of the Navigator. So those two movies just became prominent movies I'd see every week in my household. And that soundtrack to Flight of the Navigator has just become etched in my brain, you know. And every time I hear it, it just brings back good memories and good feelings. And even though the film's a bit cheesy and dated, I still love the movie.
How dare you? Oh no, that opening scene where they're playing frisbee with the dogs, that is 80 cheese and it's just beautiful.
Yeah, you can't recreate that really. But some of that kind of influence must have seeped through onto the last kind of record when we were talking 80s. And I know that Charlie was actually, he was a bit older than me during that period of time, so he would have remembered it more. And I mean, a lot of that stuff was just drawn from the Transformers movies and the kind of Rocky movies and things like that, you know. Flight of the Navigator is top cheese. I love it.
That's so good. Yeah. I also read that you have another band that just has an EP out called Novena, I believe. Am I pronouncing that correctly? Haven't heard it said.
Yeah.
What's the status of Novena?
So we've actually recorded our first record. I believe there are some outstanding things to layer on, like maybe some extra instruments and a choir and things like that. I mean, the bands are all UK-based players from different kind of underground metal bands. The premise of it is there are two vocalists. So I do a lot of the clean stuff, and we have another vocalist called Gareth Mason, who was in a band called Slice the Cake. And his growling is absolutely insane, terrifying, actually. So we're excited to get that out at some point, but we didn't want to clash with the Haken releases either, so that might appear later on in the year.
Cool.
I've beyond that, there might be a show now and again, but we would like to kind of develop that band and bring it around the world eventually, I would have thought. But once that record's out, people get a better idea of what we're about. It's a lot different from the EP, actually. So
I haven't been able to find the EP, but I'm curious. So awesome.
Well, I'll hook you up.
Oh, nice. Thanks. You've got my Skype handle, I guess, probably some link. It's probably not up to you, really, but how likely do you think another round of shows in some form of Shattered Fortress is for you and the rest of the guys from Haken with Portnoy?
I mean, at this point, it was only meant to be one show, to be fair. So the fact that there were any tours at all was amazing. And I feel absolutely privileged to have been a part of that. As band members, we would jump at the chance to do it again. But there would be no murmurings or any inklings to doing it again, to be honest. So
I know Mike's got Sons of Apollo. He's a busy guy.
Keep praying for us, and maybe Mike will give me a call in a few years' time. Who knows?
That'd be cool. Thank you so much for talking with me. The live album drops, I think, in a few weeks, which is pretty cool. I've had a chance to listen to it. It's lot of fun.
June 22nd. I would love everyone to check it out. If it's just to get their Haken fix, or if they're new listeners, never heard us before, it's a good starting point to hear our repertoire.
So. I agree. All righty, well, you have the good rest of your evening, and thank you for being on the show.
No problem. Good to talk to you.
Bye.
Bye.
Live by Haken will be released on June 22nd via Century Media Records. To pre-order the album, head to hakenmusic.com and follow the band on facebook.com/hakenofficial. To close this episode, I'm going to end with a recommendation of the band Ascending Dawn. Ascending Dawn are an atmospheric and melodic progressive metal band. They released their album Coalesce last December. From that album, here is Cannonball in its entirety. You can pick up Coalesce by Ascending Dawn over ascendingdawn.bandcamp.com, and for more on the band, head to ascendingdawnband.com. As always, if you want to talk to me, you can head over to facebook.com/farbeyondmetal. I'm on Twitter at Ovacord, that's O-V-A-C-O-R-D. The show is _farbeyondmetal. Or if you're in a band and you want to talk to me, you can email me at farbeyondmetaldan@gmail.com. As always, the theme song is Far Beyond Metal by the band Strapping Young Lad from their album The New Black, courtesy of Century Media Records and Devin Townsend himself. Thank you for listening.
A Catbox production.